Okay, we're picking up on Chav Vav Amud Aleph. We are 7 lines from the top. The two dots, we're starting the Pasuk. Umidalusa aras yashir nevuzardin rava tabachim lechomer liyovim. So we were mentioning the balsam oil yesterday. So the Gemara just continues with one more memra, one more statement on this concept. It quotes the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that Nevuzardan, who was the chief executioner officer, rava tabachim lechomer liyovim, he left some Jews behind in Eretz Yisrael after destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Those who he didn't send after the first Beis HaMikdash, those who he didn't send to Bavel, he left to be Komrim and Yogvim. So the Gemara wonders, what is his lashon of Komrim, Kormim, and Yogvim? So the Gemara says, Kormim, Tanadar of Yosef, Elu Melakte, Afer Simon, Me'en Gedi, Ve'ad Ramsa. These are the people who gathered the balsam, collected it from En Gedi Ramsa, and that is who they were. The Yogvim, Rav Yosef said, is Eilut Sayyideh Chalazim and Sumas Yad Sur Chayfa. So it seems to be that these two things were not so simple to do. The second one was that they were catch the Chilazim in the Mediterranean. See, Rashi says, and those were people from Tsur, the area where the Phoenicians were up north, and Chayfa, that was up north in Eretz Yisrael. So these two things, the Chronim point out, well, first of all, the chilazon was the dye that was used to make the tchela. So it was extremely difficult to maneuver and figure out how to do. It was very expensive. The Gemara talks about how there was imitation tchelas because it was fake and it would be because it was very cheap knockoff, but the tchelas was very expensive. So this was something that was useful for him. So therefore he left them in Eretz Yisrael to do a purpose for him, and to keep them working in some things that would have otherwise been hard. Otherwise, he could have, some Sofer points out, they could have just replaced them and found a regular job. A regular guy from outside, a non-Jew. Why would he leave Jews in the land that they were? For this purpose, he had a major purpose for them. Okay, that's what Gemara says. Now we're going to go back to discuss what else is usher to use for fueling agents for the oils for Shabbos. Gemara says, Tanur Baran, Eimad Lik Metevel Tamei Bechol. Someone's not allowed to leave to light with Tevel. Tevel, that's Tamei, that's impure. What is Tevel? Tevel is produce which Trumos and Maestros were not taken off yet. If you didn't take off Truma and Maestros and the person ate it, if it was bemezid, he's chayv misa b'deshamayim, he's chayv death, hands of heavens, if he decides to eat it. So in a situation where you have tevel that becomes tame, so there, you still have to take off the Truma and Maestros, so the Truma, the Kohen cannot eat it, he can just burn it. But if you didn't take it off at all, one would not be allowed to burn it at all, even during the weekdays. And even Ein Tzarich Lomar b'Shabbos, and it's not even necessary to tell you that it's usher to light it on Shabbos. And I'm just wondering why we use that. Why would Shabbos be any different? Meaning, why is Shabbos a kol shekein that it's usher to light on Shabbos? Okay, the Rashba seems to ask that kasha. But just going back for a second, Rashi also says that Mendigim Tevel Tame, we just mentioned Tevel, something that Truma Meisher wasn't taken off, but Dafka when it's Tame, Rashi says kol shekein, obviously, you would not be allowed to burn tevel that is tahar, because that the Kohen can really be eating, and you're not allowed to give it to him at all. You're not allowed to burn it at all. Kiyotzebo in malika beneft lavan bechol. Similarly, someone's not allowed to kindle the nafta we said before, that this, right, this thing before, ve'in tzarech lomer Shabbos, not necessarily stayed on Shabbos. Lamar wonders this. Bishlama neft, we mentioned before that neft is this type of oil that is easily, it's easily very flammable, and it's dangerous. So therefore, mitzad danger, they say never to light with this. It's very flammable and could set a house on fire. It's dangerous. Chazal said, mitzad danger, don't light it. However, teva, my time, what's the reasoning that teva produce? You're not allowed to light, burn it, if it's, especially when it's tamei. So the Gemara says, Amar Kra, Vani, we quoted this pasuk on yesterday's daf, Vani, Nin Nisati, and the similar drasha, Nin Nisati, Lachas, Vishmeres, Trumasi. The pasuk was saying, Hashem said to Aaron, that I'm giving you my safeguard and my truma offerings at the shtekar, but shtei trumas, kasamadaber, the Torah is talking about two different truma offerings. Right? We mentioned that trumosai is written in plural, mentioning the minimum of two. Achas truma tahor, achas truma tmea. One is a truma that is tar, and one is truma that is tameh. Okay, and we mentioned before that a Kohen is allowed to benefit from Truma that is Tamei. That's what we mentioned before from yesterday's Drasha. Now we're mentioning Ma Truma Tahora, just in the case of Truma that's Tahor, it's fit to be eaten, in L'chayel Mishas HaRama Ve'elech, when the Kohen is allowed to use it, only when you take off the Trumas. If before that, it's a Tevel even for a Kohen. If a Kohen eats Tevel, he's also, even a Kohen also eats Tevel, he's also Chayim Yisrael V'Dishamayim. Even though the Truma is supposed to be for him, and he's allowed to eat it, still, it's still called Tevel. And that would be a problem. Av Truma Tmea, so too in the case of Truma Tmea, which has to, we want to use for your purposes of lighting a fire, so too you're not allowed to use it. Ein lecha ela ba'ashas haram ve'elech. You're only allowed to use it in a situation where you took off the Trumas and Meisers, the proper Truma and Meiser. So, okay, and that's what we're learning from it. As long as it's tame, you still need to take it off, and before you light it, before then, you're not allowed to light it, and that's what we're learning out from that. And where it goes back to what we quote in the Braisa on Chav Hei on the Bezim. Where it says, Gufa, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Mar Ema Likim Bitzari. Rabbi Shimon Elazar said, you're not allowed to light the Shabbos light with the balsam. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Mar Tzari, Eno Elazar, Mar Tzari, Katav. Well, again, we mentioned before that why you're not allowed to light it, because it's going to smell so good, or you come to touch it, maybe you want to put it on yourself and use it. We gave two reasonings before, again, that it's very flammable and dangerous. The second one is going to remove it by wanting to use it, and then you're going to be doing mechaber, you're going to be extinguishing the light. So now that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is coming to add, sorry, endo ela sarf mitzir katav, that balsam is only from the sap of the balsam trees. So lechora, what is he coming to add over here? Is he saying another reason of why it's tame? So that is how the Rashba understands that. Yes, he's coming to give another reasoning. He's explaining that just like one is not allowed to use the saps of any other tree, so to the sap of that, because it's not drawn easily from the wick, is another reason not to use that of the balsam tree. However, Tosos, a different reasoning. Okay, I am the Tosos, but that's the reason over here that the Rashba gives why we're mentioning this. Rabbi Shmuel says that you can't use anything that's extracted from a tree, meaning sap, because it's not easily drawn out by the wick. That's what Rashi says, that's the reason. So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Broko Omer, Eimad Likin El Biyotzim in Apri. You're only allowed to light with something that is extracted from a fruit. Rabbi Shmuel ben Broko is saying Rashi says that the inside of a fish, right, the dag and the itran and the balsam that we mentioned, all those are possible to be lighting with your Shabbos candles. Gemara says, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Eimad Likin El B'Shem and Zayis Bilvad. Rabbi Tarfon, we mentioned this before, also is Shita. You can only light from olive oil. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nura al Ragla. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nura, he stood up. There's a discussion of why did he say that he stood up? Because they all used to sit down in the base medrash. When someone was getting up, and whenever they raised the discussion of an Amora or a Tana, getting up in the base medrash, he was showing an emphasis that he was getting up, saying, really exclaiming his point, that you guys should listen to me. So here also he's saying, he's getting up and making an explanation. What are you going to make the Babylonians do? They only have sesame oil. Sorry. What are the people of Mada, the Medians, of Achinlam, Shem, and Egozim, they only have nut oil. They only have radish oil. Those people in Alexandria and Egypt. The Kaputkians, and they only have neft oil. Rather, we can only, Yochanan is concluding that you can only say what the Chachamim said explicitly in the Mishnah is usher to use. That is what is going to be usher. And it's also permitted to light with fish oil and itran. Those two things are going to be mutter according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And even though itran comes from Rashi, as it comes from pitch, which the Mishnah said is usher, itran is still going to be mutter. Rabbi Shimon says Zuri Omer Malikim Hashem and Pekuos of a neft. They're allowed to light some type of oil and with neft. So he says you are allowed to light it. So the Rishonim asks, what is he adding to the opinion of Rechum Nuri, who approved of any of oil, and he explicitly disqualified anything from the Mishnah? So the Ritvayir and Tosfos seem to understand that the understanding that Rabbi Shimon is saying only these two things as lighting agents would be mutter, that's what over here, okay? That's what Tosfos is actually in Chulin. Fine, the Gemara now says, again, Simcha says anything that is extracted from any flesh of an animal, things like that, is usher to use. However, fish oil is mutter to be using. The Gemara now says, Simcha seems to be the same shita as Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that we mentioned before. What is he coming to entertain? He's saying that everything mentioned in the Mishnah is usher, and that included the chalef we mentioned before, which is extracted from the animal flesh. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri also said that that's mutter. So isn't Simchas the same shita as Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? The Gemara says, Ikum b'nai, Rav Bona Marav. Rav Bona Marav, who we're familiar with, he said this before, that if you pour a small amount of mutter oil into the thing that was usher, he assumed that that would be mutter. So the Gemara is assuming that when it comes to air, when it comes to using the fish oil, you're allowed to use it, maybe it's only when it's, when you added it to a previous thing that was mutter. So the Gemara now says, we don't know which one, it's not clear who said that that would be mutter and who said it would be usher. That is what we're assuming over here, that we don't know who held what. Okay, the Gemara continues, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Kaliotim and Eitz, anything extracted from a tree, meaning from a plant. Okay, right? Rashi says, such as like cotton is an example. So anything from a plant, Emo Mishim Shalosh Al Shalosh. So once you're mentioning the topic of Kol Yotzim and Eitz, you're mentioning over here Kol Yotzim and Eitz is not going to be subject to the thing, anything that has 3x3 etzbaos, right? Shalosh shalosh over here is referring to Rashi Gimel etzbaos, three finger breadths. Three finger breadths is going to be short. It's important to note this because it's different than 3 by 3 shalosha is going to be tefachim, is much bigger. That's a hand breadth. That's 3 times the size. 4 times the size, I think, even is a tefach. So here we're talking about 3 by 3 finger breadths. Anything that is from a tree, like cotton, is not going to be subject of tuma when it comes to. It's not considered a garment for any purposes where a garment come tame. Let's say for negayim, like right for negayim, when a person has tarash on a beged, you have to burn it. So that would not, if it's something that's made out of cotton, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, you would not have be subject to these dinim of even if it was 3 by 3. Umisachin bo, and misachban, you can cover a sukkah with it. What's the chiddush over here? A sukkah, it learns it out that the material has to be something that grows from the ground and it can't become something that can become tameh. So that we're here, he's telling you the chiddush over here, since it can't become tameh, it's allowed to use it for a sukkah for schach. Chutz b'pishtan, except flax, because flax is going to be shaykh to be, Rashi points this out, is can become tameh, acceptable to tuma, and therefore you're not allowed to use it as a cover for sukkah. So that's what the exception over here, you can't use that. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Vitan David Rabbi Shmuel, Amru Davar Achad. It must be Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar derived what he said, that's what Rashi explains this, from the teaching of Rabbi Shmuel. So, what was that? What did Rabbi Shmuel say that was similar to what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says? The Gemara now is going to explain. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Adam, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he said what we just said, that 3 by 3 finger breadths, not hand breadths, 3 by 3 finger breadths is going to be, right, at suppose, is going to become, is not a problem of becoming tameh when it comes to cotton. So the Gemara now, or anything derived from a plant, so the Gemara now says, Tana Rabbi Shmuel, why, what did Tana Rabbi Shmuel say? It's the following. The Tana Rabbi Shmuel says, Ho'el v'nemra begadim betorah stam. Insomuch that the Torah refers to garments in different psukim without specifying what type of garments we're talking about over here. Right? For example, Rashi points this out that when the pasuk says, Tumas Sheretz, it says that there's anything which it combined, whether it's a utensil or a garment, beged opet klior, but sack. Right, whether it's a sackcloth or leather, that was referring to a tumas beged over here. And then the Torah goes out of its way to tell you that it's referring to wool and flax, temer pishim, wool and flax, meaning the pasuk says there's going to be taras beged. It says over there b'dafka b'temer u'b'pishim. So that's Lashon Rashi says this. So then we're going to have a binyanav. First of all, before the binyanav, you have a klal prat, the klal im b'kat elav mashav prat. That if we have a general thing, meaning we've said all clothing, and then a specific point in the Torah, that this is one of the shloshos amidos, says Rabbi Shmuel, that then would be that you can learn from the specific case. And then if you have a binyanav, meaning that we're talking dafka about wool and flax, and then we have a binyanav is also one of the yud gimel amidos that tells you that just like the law is like this, by this case, by wool and flax, is going to apply to something else. So what does that apply over here? So the Gemara says, Malan Terebishan, just as the case by Taras, the Torah specifically says that wool and flax is only going to become tamei, nothing else. So too, av kol tzemer pishtim, and so too all other garments. Whenever the Torah says begadim or a beged, then it's going to be only when they are wool and flax. So Rabbi Shlomo Lazar is telling you that no other material originating from a tree, except the gumtum tumei, besides flax, is based on this Tana de Vei Rabbi Shmuel. That's what the Gemara was learning out from over here. And again, Abaye was assuming that the opinions of Rabbi Shimon Elazar and the Tana of Shmuel were lined up with each other. However, Rava argues. Rava says, Rava Amar, Shlosha, Shlosha, B'Shar B'Gadim, Mika B'Nayim. That applying the measure of 3 by 3, not etzpos over here, but rather tfachim, hand breaths over here. We're talking about Shlosha, El Shlosha, tfachim, as she says. 3 by 3 hand breaths, against 3 times, it's 4 times the size of etzpos. Then there are going to be there's a disagreement with these two shitas. That is that according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Islay, Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds that they can become tameh. According to him, according to Rava, Rabbi Shimon Elazar is only excluding from tuma the garment measuring 3 by 3 etzbos of cotton. However, if it's 3 by 3 tfachim, according to Rava, then they're going to become tameh even if it's cotton. So the Gemara now says, however, Tana Rabbi Shimon Elazar, when Rabbi Shimon was learning it out, he says that no other thing other than wool and flax is considered a beged for this purpose. That would mean that nothing else is a beged and nothing else can become tameh. So the Gemara now wants to ask, so the Gemara says, "Dekuli alma mias shalosh al shomay v'sarer pishtim mitameh ben negam." So everyone is under the opinion, though, that when it comes to the wool and flax, that 3 by 3 etzbos, it's going to become tameh by Tzara'as, even if it's just 3x3 etzbos. And when I learned, asked Minalan, where could we learn this halacha that's the case? By 3x3 etzbos, 3x3 etzbos is tiny. 3x3 etzbos is a couple of centimeters. We're talking about a very small amount. So over here, maybe even just 1 centimeter, whatever, very, very small. Mm-hmm. So how it's not really a normal baguette, so then why should it be that it's become tamei? How do we know that it should become tamei? Gemara says, Tisanya, for we taught in a braisa. The pasuk says, baguette. The Torah learned the lashon by its lashon of baguette. Any other baguette, I would only know that a complete garment of wool flex. Shalosh, shalom, and alan, tov, another, veha baguette. We have the lashon of veha baguette, which is an extension over here. The extra letter, the hey above, indicates even a smaller size. It's a reboy. It's coming to an even a smaller size, which is going to tell you, even shalosh, shalosh, it's baos. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Now the Gemara asks though, the aim l'rabu shalosh shlosha al shlosha. You should say that the extra letters of habeged, maybe it's coming to tell you less of a chiddush. Only if it was with regards to tzemer of pishim with wool and flax garment, it's going to, the cloth is going to be only if it's 3x3 tfachim, 3x3 hand breadths, which is much bigger. Only then would it become tabi, but not 3x3 etzbos, not 3x3 finger breadths. That's going to be much smaller. That's way bigger chiddush. So Gemara says no. Lav kavachomer, that you would learn it out from a kavachomer. Hashas shasi ve'erev mitamim. When it comes to the weaving it, right, vertically and horizontally, it's the best way to translate it. So the thing is literally warp and the woof. I don't know exactly what that means, but for me, it's always vertical, horizontal when you're weaving it. So then it's going to become tameh, even if it's way less than that shear. If it's less than that shear and you did that and you wove in that certain manner, the Torah is telling you that even if it's that, that's considered finished for the purposes of being designated as a beged, and even if it's a really tiny shear, it would be metame. So if that's metame, shloshal shlosh mebay, then certainly a cloth by 3x3 tfachim, which is certainly a finished cloth, a finished fabric, then it's obviously going to become tame. So the Gemara says, yahachi shalosh al shalosh nami leisa v'kal v'chomer. But if that's true, that a cloth by 3x3 tfachim is because it's a finished product is going to become tameh, so then I would have learned also a kava chomer. I don't need any drasha at all. I would learn from the kava chomer that kol shekein, then obviously 3x3 etzbos, 3x3 finger breadths are also going to become tameh because they too are going to be considered a finished fabric. So then why do I need ve'abeged at all as a drasha? So the Gemara answers, Ela shlosha al shlosha, dechazu bein lashem bein lashem. No. When it comes to the fact that it's 3x3 hand breasts, there's something useful for both a rich and a poor person. This cloth is something even a regular person would use, a rich person would use. However, I used to be kava chomer, then I would have a kava chomer to teach you that something that's a finished product, that if shasi v'erev is metame, then certainly this finished product of shlosh bein lashem tfachim, 3x3 hand breasts, is going to be tame. However, when it comes to shalosh al shalosh, but shalosh al shalosh, it's both. When it comes to the 3x3 finger breadths, then only la niyam de chazan, la shirin la chazan, then it's only suitable for poor people. No rich person would ever use 3x3. Again, it's tiny. Talking about a tiny shear over here, three fingers, put three fingers together, see how wide it is. It's nothing. So lo aysa b'kava chomer, I wouldn't have learned that necessarily it can become tameh, because shasi v'erev is a finished product. Here, it's not necessarily finished for the whole olam. It's only finished for this one poor guy. Maybe I would have thought it's not going to become tameh, so therefore I needed to learn it out. So now the Gemara is saying, time, it must be that the reason that a cloth measured 3x3 etzbos is going to be tameh is from the tekasvei kra, because the Torah wrote ve'habeged, and that's what it's coming to teach you, even a tiny cloth of shalosh shalosh etzbos. Lokasvei kal ogrunim a kavachomer, but if we had not written out ve'habeged, we would not have learned it out from a kavachomer. So now we learn that the Braisa taught us about beged, that we learned out that a tzemer or pishtim, when it comes to wool or flax, the beged from there, that their garments are going to be 3x3, tfachim is going to be tamei. The Gemara has a kasha on this. Gemara says, ve'ima l'rabo shlosha al shlosha b'shar begadim. But maybe we could assume that the extra leggers of the beged is coming to include that there's something that's going to come tamei, even if it's 3x3, even if it's 3x3 tfachim by shar begadim. Even by Sharbe Gadon over here, and then we would learn out, according to Rashi, now a lot of Rishonim have a kasha on this, but Rashi's hold, to go with Rashi's strat, Rashi holds, and then that would mean that when we would learn out Tzemer Pishtim, we would learn out the wool and flax garment of 3x3 exposed, that would come out from the Kal Vachomer. The other Rishonim are bothered because we seem to reject the Kal Vachomer. Okay, Rashi holds, that's, we would learn it out. So now we're learning that we would learn out the Sholosh by Sholosh exposed, 3x3 etzbos, 2x3 hand breadths, finger lengths from tzemer opishtim, and then even a shalosh by shalosh tfachim, even a 3x3 gemara tfachim is going to become tameh b'shar begadim. So the Gemara says, Amar Kra, beged tzemer opishtim. The pasuk tells you Really, the pasuk is really the begat temer over begat pishtim. Gemara is giving a loose pasuk over here that's what we're saying, and it's coming to teach you begat temer pishtim in. It's coming to tell you wool and linen garment are going to be susceptible to tuma. However, midiach queen lo, nothing else is going to be tame. Meaning that what says wool and flax, it's coming to teach you a miut. It's coming to teach you that it's coming to exclude something. It's coming to exclude all other materials by three tefachim. The Gemara asks of ima kiemet mishalosh al shalosh. Maybe you could assume that when it comes to exclude other garments, that's only when it's becoming 3x3 etzbos, the smaller shear. However, everyone should agree that the Braisa would say, assume that when it's shalosh al shlosha, whenever you use the word shalosh al shlosha, I mentioned this before, whenever you're using shalosh al shlosha, it's referring to tefachim. When it's referring to shalosh al shlosh, it's referring to etzbos. So that's because of Zachar and Akiva, not the whole thing, but that's what you should just know for now. Whenever we're talking shalosh al shlosha, we're referring to 3x3 hand breadths, the bigger shear. Shalosh al shalosh is referring to the smaller shear of a finger breadth. Okay? So now the Gemara says, it's both. Gemara now says, we're going to reject this. We say over here that it's coming, trei mute ksive. We have a double negative. It's going to be two exclusions. What is that? Beged semer o beged pishtim. The pasuk says over here, the pasuk says bebeged semer o bebeged pishtim. So right, that's the pasuk. So we're assuming over here, we say it twice. And two exclusions. What is that? Chad l'me'utei mishalosh hashlosh. The first one is to exclude that the laws of tuma to become tame from a cloth of any other material of 3x3 etzbos is not going to become tame. And then the other one is chad l'me'utei mishalosh hashlosh. The second one is coming to exclude a cloth of even a bigger shear of 3x3 tefachim. And therefore, we go back to our original pshat in the Braisa, that from Beged we learn out that Tamei can become with Semer Pishtim, with wool and flax, and then by three it's both. And then the Kavah Chomer we're going to learn out Veshasi Verev, and we're not going to assume that other Begadim, Shalosh, Shalosh, Tfachim are going to become Tamei. So then the Gemara is going to quote Rava. Rava de Amar Shlosha Shlosha B'Shar B'Gandim Ika B'Nai. But according to Rava, he assumed that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar disagrees with Rabbi Yishmael on this regard. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Isler, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds that you can become another garment can become Tame if it's 3x3 Tfachim, even cotton can become Tame 3x3 Tfachim. However, the Tanya de Yishmael, later when it comes to Tanya de Rabbi Yishmael, he does not hold that it becomes Tame, even by 3x3 tefachim. Him, according to cotton garment, can be even 4, 5, 6 tefachim, and will not become tame. Shlosha, shlosha, b'shar v'gadim. Then according to him, in the case of all other garments, where is he going to allow? Minale nafka, minale. So where is he going to get this? Where does Rishama know that such a cloth is going to be susceptible to tuma? How do I know that? Rabbi Shimon only spoke about other materials that are measuring 3x3 3x3 etzbos, that they are going to be putter from, they can't become tame. Rava learned out from Rabbi Shimon that therefore he must hold that any other material measuring 3x3 tfachim are subject to become tame. So however, we didn't have any raya for that. So the Gemara now learns, where do we know that? So it must be the nafka o beged. He learned it out from, Rashi says, but dechsev b'shratzim, that o is a ribayum. And it's coming to teach us the following. The Sanya is teaching in the Braisa. Rashi doesn't like that. Why are you saying there's a Sanya? If there's a Braisa, how could a Abaye argue? Okay, Rashi takes it as a Sanya. Either way, it's a Drasha. This is a Drasha from Rava or the Braisa. Beged. The Pasuk tells you by the Sheretz a garment. So, Enli Ela Beged, I have only learned that a garment of wool, Tzemer Pishtim, is going to be, like we saw by Tzaras, that's going to become Tame. Shlosha, Shlosha, Bashar, Gudim. But how do I know that a cloth measuring 3x3 Tfachim, that any other garment is also going to become tame by a sheretz? Tamal Omar, O Beged. The Torah is telling you that, or a garment, which is therefore teaching you that the O Beged is coming to include that any other garment, any other category of any other garment is also going to become tame, and that is how Rava learns it out. Okay, the Gemara, we're going to pick up with Abaye, because it's a lengthy Shaka V'Torah here. We'll pick up with Abaye, Mirz Hashem, tomorrow.